Dante's Inferno. This is Canto 3. Quote, through me you go to the grief-racked city, through me to everlasting pain you go, through me you go and pass among lost souls. Justice inspired my exalted creator. I am a creature of the holiest power, of wisdom in the highest, and of primal love. Nothing till I was made, only eternal beings, and I endure eternally. Surrender as you enter every hope you have. These were the words that, written in dark tones, I saw there on the summit of a door. I turned. Their meaning, sir, for me is hard. And he, in answering, as though he understood, your needs must here surrender all your doubts, all taint of cowardice must here be dead. We now have come where, as I have said, you will see, in suffering, the souls of those who've lost the good that intellect desires to win. And then he placed his hand around my own. He smiled to give me some encouragement and set me on to enter secret things. Sighing, sobbing, moans and plaintive wailing all echoed here through air where no star shone. And I, as this began to weep. Discordant tongues, harsh accents of horror, tormented words, the twang of rage, strident voices, the sound, as well, of smacking hands. Together these all stirred a storm that swirled forever in the darkened air, where no time was, as sand swept up in breathing spires of wind. I turned my head, tight-bound in confusion, to say to my master, what is it that I hear? Who can these be, so overwhelmed by pain? This baleful condition is one, he said, that grips those souls whose lives contemptibly were void alike of honour and ill fame. These all commingle with a noisome choir of angels, who, not rebels yet, not true to God, existed for themselves alone. To keep their beauty whole, the heavens spurned them, nor would the depths of hell receive them in, lest truly wicked souls boast over them. And I? What can it be so harsh, so heavy, that draws such loud lamentings from these crowds? And he replied, my answer can be brief. These have no hope that death will ever come. And so degraded is the life they lead. All look with envy on all other fates. The world allows no glory to their name. Mercy and justice alike despise them. Let us not speak of them. Look, then pass on. I did look intently. I saw a banner running so rapidly, whirling forwards, that nothing, it seemed, would ever grant a pause. Drawn by that banner was so long a trail of men and women, I should not have thought that death could ever have unmade so many. A few I recognized, and then I saw and knew beyond all doubt the shadow of the one who made from cowardice the great denial. So I, at that instant, was wholly sure this congregation was that worthless mob, loathsome alike to God and their own enemies. These wretched souls were never truly live. They now went naked and were sharply spurred by wasps and hornets thriving all around. The insects streaked the face of each with blood, mixing with tears the lines ran down, and then were garnered at their feet by filthy worms. And when I'd got myself to look beyond, others, I saw, were ranged along the bank of some great stream, "Allow me, sir," I said, "to know who these might be. What drives them on, and what makes them all, as far in this weak light as I discern, so eager for the crossing?" "That will, of course, be clear to you," he said, "when once our footsteps are set firm upon the melancholic shores of Acheron." At this, ashamed, my eyes cast humbly down, feared my words had weighed on him too hard, I held my tongue until we reached the stream. "Look now, towards us in a boat there came an old man, yelling, hair all white and aged. 'Degenerates, your fate is sealed. Cry woe. Don't hope you'll ever see the skies again. I'm here to lead you to the farther shore, into eternal shadow, heat and chill. And you there, you, yes, you, the living soul, get right away from this gang. These are dead.' But then, on seeing that I did not move, 'You will arrive by other paths and ports. You will start your journey from a different beach. A lighter hull must carry you across. Charon, my leader, don't torment yourself, for this is willed where all is possible that is willed there, and so demand no more.' The fleecy wattles of the ferryman who plied across the liverish swamp, eyeballs encircled by two wheels of flame, fell mute. But not the other souls. Naked and drained, their complexions changed. Their teeth began, hearing his raw command, to gnash and grind. They raged, blaspheming God and their own kin, the human race, the place and time, the seed from which they'd sprung, the day that they'd been born. And then they came together, all as one, wailing aloud along the evil margin that waits for all who have no fear of God. Charon the demon, with his hot coal eyes, glared what he meant to do. He swept all in. He struck at any dawdler with his oar. In autumn, leaves are lifted one by one, away until the branch looks down and sees its tatters all arrayed upon the ground. In that same way did Adam's evil seed hurtle in sequence from the river's rim as birds that answer to their handler's call. Then off they went to cross the darkened flood, and long before they landed over there, another flock assembled in their stead. Attentively, my master said, 'All those, dear son, who perish in the wrath of God, meet on this shore, wherever they were born, and they are eager to be shipped across. Justice of God so spurs them all ahead that fear in them becomes that sharp desire. But no good soul will ever leave from here. And so when Charon thus complains of you, you may well grasp the sense that sounds within.' His words now done, the desolate terrain trembled with such great force that the thought soaks me once more in a terrified sweat. The tear-drenched earth gave out a gust of wind, erupting in a flash of bright vermilion that overwhelmed all conscious sentiment. I fell like someone gripped by a sudden sleep." Thus ends Canto 3 of Dante's Inferno. Scary stuff, and we're really only at the beginning. Goodness knows what lies ahead.